The song I'm going to sing for you tonight has become a very special song. I pray that I can get through it without tears, because it's a song that I sing very often, and especially it has come to be very special to me after the Lord took my dear Linda home. And I've always cherished grace. But there is special grace. There's grace that's far deeper than we can ever know, that God is able and ready to give to us when we need it. And so the song I want to sing for you tonight is called New Grace.
All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended, as on Him my heart depended. And there be new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every mile, there's been grace for every trial. There's been grace sufficient from His vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners. And there be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever. There be new grace I've not needed before. Yes, there be new grace I've not needed before.
And all God's people said, amen. I tell you what, if you don't know and have not experienced the wonderful grace of God, you need to pray for God's mercy. You won't know it. It's an outflow of God's mercy. And I've been learning. I've taken the word mercy, started the first day of the year, and got all the verses that mercy is found, and been made it a part of my daily devotions of going to that verse and studying that word mercy. And I've come to find out, some wonderful truths, simple truths, that mercy is something that God just doesn't give everybody. Now, He loves everybody. Amen? He loves you when you're not lovable. But my friends, He doesn't just give mercy to everyone. I am finding that mercy is something that comes from fearing God and being in truth. Being truthful with God and fearing the Lord will bring His mercy, and it outflows with the marvelousness of His grace. Isn't that wonderful? It is. Amen. All right. I have wonderfully enjoyed myself today. I want to thank you. It was a surprise to me that this was going to happen. And of course, I'll let my children know thank them for. That's why I wanted to get the picture, because they're the ones that sent the pictures in for you to see today. But Brother Terry, I want to tell you with all my heart, I thank you for the special day that you had for me. And it's just wonderful. That's just a little taste of what's going to happen when we all get the glory. Amen. We're going to be able to honor our Lord. I want to honor my Lord, don't you? I don't know what I'm all going to be able to say and do, but I tell you, I can't wait to see my Lord. It's just a wonderful thought to my soul. Amen. Praise God's holy name. Amen. All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. One verse that we're going to launch a message tonight that I pray that will get you excited. Now, it may seem just as information, but I pray to the child of God tonight, when you hear the Word of God, it's not just information. It's God's Word. And when you see it as God's Word, it's got something to say. And something that we need to hear. Sometimes it's simply a reminder. But if it's a fresh reminder, guess what? It's a fresh emotional feeling that comes to our soul. Now, I know some people, they kind of frown on Christians being emotional. But that's a part of our makeup. And when that emotional is surrounded with God, good, He gets the glory. I think God enjoys hearing His children glorify Him. Amen? Amen. Does anybody want to just hold up your hand and say praise God tonight? Anybody? Amen. I see some. Thank you. Amen. Just be at liberty to praise the Lord. Okay? It's good. Amen. All right. So let's pray and ask the Lord to take His Word tonight and minister to our hearts as only He can. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You, Lord, for the time that I've been here. And thank You, Lord, for bringing me, Lord, especially to Abigail's wedding. And I pray, God, that You'll just be with them in a very special way. And there were some very special things that You allowed me to do there. And I'm grateful. But, Lord, now we're here. And I thank You for Brother Terry taking me around and just spending time with me and feeding me and housing me. And Lord, it's just been good. And so, Lord, it's just a small little taste of what heaven's going to be like for all eternity. And so, Lord, we ask now tonight, right now, that You'll quiet each one of our hearts, from the youngest to the oldest, that we'll be still and know that Thou art God. And that our hearts will be warmed with eternal truth. And, Lord, when we begin to make application to these eternal truths of who You are, may our hearts be stirred afresh tonight. And that we'll leave here really saying, not just quoting, but really saying, oh, how good it's been for me to be in the house of the Lord today. So, Lord, take it for Your glory now. Minister to our souls, for we desire to hear from Thee. I desire that freshness of thought and feeling that comes from You, of the realization of Your mercy and of Your grace. Hear us now tonight as we intercede before Thee. Minister to our hearts as only You can, we ask right now in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen and amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Oh, what a declaration to the Christian life, is it not? No matter what the test of time is, God says this: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then notice how the glorious declaration that is follows, to Him be glory both now and forever. I think that the forever won't be like it should be if you don't start now. At least that's what I'm getting from this. Amen. Start practicing now the joys of glorifying God, because you're going to be doing it for all eternity. Amen? Amen. Question. Christians, are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? The question is not, have we grown? The question is, are we growing? God would have us, now listen to this, God would have us to be ever in present tense in our growing. I like that. I was once a coach, high school, junior high, and guess what my name was by my basketball team? Shorty. Yeah, because I had basketball players that was I had to look up at. So I was called Shorty. Till I met a fellow in North Carolina, and we went to a tournament, and he was shorter than me. And I walked up to him, I said, you know, I'm glad to meet you, another coach that's shorter than me. That didn't go too well with him. I thought it was, you know, he was a Christian fellow. I knew him, but it didn't go over. So I guess he had a stigma about him being short. But still, I like this matter of growing. Growing and growing in grace. Now, there's a phrase in the Bible, a two-worded phrase, that speaks of the ever-present tense of the eternityness of God. You know what that phrase is? It's very simple. God is. You got it? Say that with me. God is. It carries the same meaning that God never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. I believe that it's a great insight to the meaning of God's name that God gave to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When He said, I am that I am. Do you realize He's still the I Am? And He'll ever be the I Am? Yeah. So tonight, I want you to just listen to me. Don't try to turn to the verses. I'm going to give you a lot of verses, and I'm going to give it from the Word of God, and I'm going to give you who God is. Now listen to me. For you that know a lot about the Scripture and could get up here and preach the same message tonight, but I want you to listen and be reminded from Scripture who God is and what God is. And we'll see where it leads us. You ready? Just listen. I'm going to be moving quickly. Here we go. God is. He is God. He is God. Listen to it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mayest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. You can take that truth alone and get excited. Because there's people in this world tonight that does not know the true and living God. They have gods, but they don't know the true and living God. The Lord, the self-existent, eternal One, is God, the Supreme One. God is. Emphasis on is now. God is, which means He'll always be. God is God. God is great, mighty, terrible. Listen to it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. The word terrible means to fear with reverence. Listen to Psalm 89:7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. I don't know about you, but that speaks to my heart. There was a time when I really felt the desire to really be able to feel that my heart is paying real connection with that feeling of reverence before God. Really, the idea of knowing that I am truly bowing, kneeling, and reverencing my God. God is jealous and a consuming fire. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4, 24. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. How well do you know who God is? It can bring fear and trembling. Psalm 7:11 says, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. I don't want to be on that side. God is King. Psalm chapter 47, verse 7 through 9. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God setteth upon the throne of His holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Psalm 45, verse 6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is the right scepter. And this is speaking of who? It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. God is judge. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Psalm chapter 50, verse 6. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. Selah. God is holy. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That we could preach on for an hour. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He's commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. God is light. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God is not just the light, He is the light. Perfectly pure, no darkness, no sin. He is light, all seeing, all knowing. Now, this is what we find in the Word of God, who God is. Now notice quickly what God is. God is salvation. Psalm 68, verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from death. God is the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. God is perfect. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler unto them that put their trust in Him. Then God is a sun and shield in Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is faithful. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is gracious, righteous, merciful. Psalm 116, verse 5. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is, praise God, merciful. God is a refuge. Psalm 84, verse 3. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. God is strength. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He had girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now, you heard it. Take all that God is. Do you believe what you heard tonight? Take all the what God is and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what will happen? Something wonderful will happen. The wonderful truth that God is. Now remember what the is ever present. It never changes. God is will wonderfully become to your heart, to your soul, to your life. God is my. God is my. My. M-Y. My. Listen to Moses. Exodus chapter 12, verse, Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is strength. Yes. But he says, the Lord is my strength. What did he just do? He just declared that the God of strength is now his. Have you taken all that God is and all that what God is and made him yours? You can. You're his child. Let the God that is be my God. God is my God. That's what he says. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. Mm-mm. Do you think that Moses grew in the knowledge of God as the great I am? Do you believe? Yes, he did. He certainly did. He grew mightily that he would declare it with excitement and with authority. He is my God. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory as I've seen it in the sanctuary. Thou art my God. Jehovah Elohim is the supreme of my soul. He is. But here's the joy of it. He is mine. He is mine. He that is a consuming fire and jealous. He that is mighty and terrible. He is my God. Therefore, the growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is found in the working out our salvation with fear and trembling. According to Philippians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Listen to it. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Boy, when you take a truth that God is and what God is, and to be able to say, that's my God. It stirs you afresh. And it's good and it's wonderful. And it brings a fear and a trembling. Amen. Listen to the testimony. I love this. Listen to the testimony of Thomas. After a growing experience with his risen Lord. John chapter 20, verse 28. All that Thomas went through and all that he thought. But when he saw and when he felt, he says this, and Thomas answered and said, now just think of the emotion here. Just think of the realness of his soul. He said unto him, unto the Lord, my Lord! And my God! He could have said, well, yeah, wow, you are the Lord. No, no, no. Do you see how it hits, the truth hits your own soul? And it brings out, my Lord, my God. God, who is salvation, is my salvation. Now somebody's getting it. I heard my. Amen. Psalm 62 verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Now the emphasis is on my. God who is King is my King. Woo! I have a King. Whom I serve. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. You know what that word bless means? It means to kneel. It means to kneel. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Kneel before our Creator. God, who is my salvation, He is my King. Psalm 74, verse 12, For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Do you realize how much wonderful testimonies we would have missed if there was only the declaration that God is? We would have had that wonderful truth, yes. But praise God for these testimonies when He says, but God is my God. God is my salvation. God is my King. God, who is light, is my light. I love Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see the application? He is light. He is all these things, but when it's He is my personal relationship. Amen. Listen to Isaiah's testimony. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Did you think that Isaiah had something to glory in? He gloried in the salvation of God. Listen to Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Listen to this now. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind's feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Amen. It's recorded of a woman during the French Revolution that they came in and took everything she had. Everything she had. And they said, "We're not going to leave you one thing." It's recorded of the statement of this saint said, "As long as there is a God in heaven, I shall not want." Where'd she get that from? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A lot of times the problem is that He is the shepherd and we recognize it, but we have a hard time being sheep. That's another message. Another message. The Lord is my shepherd. You can do whatever you want to. He is my shepherd. Listen to David, a man after God's own heart. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29 and verse 33. "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness." Verse 33, "God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect." Now listen to me. Are you listening? And if there's a verse that's getting your attention, and you say, "I need to claim that, I need that," claim it. You're God's child. Claim it. Let it be yours. Let it be yours. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. I love these verses. "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." Psalm 59, verse 17. "Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Psalm 62, verse 7. "In God is my salvation, my glory, and the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God." Psalm 91, verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." And then in Psalm 94, verse 22, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge." In Philippians, at the end of the book of the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. How many of you know that verse? Philippians 4, 19. How does it start? "But my God." Now can you... He's written a letter. And at the end of the letter, with a sense of excitement in his own soul, he says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But my God. There's a God in heaven, and if you'll trust Him, He'll supply your every need. Is that true? Yes. But how more exciting is it when He says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Huh? Yes. Wonderful. Now, notice what Paul tells us in this great matter of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, verse 8. You've listened to the divine record of who God is and what God is, and that He can be yours. He is mine. Now notice 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now notice what it says, all grace. All grace. All that there ever be. And many times we will not know of that grace until it comes time for the need for God to give us that grace. But it's all grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Why? Because God is. And when you come to recognize that God is, and now He is my God, you begin to dive into the richness of the marvelousness of His grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. This is the verse that God gave me immediately when my dear Linda passed. Can I give you the story of that? Would you like to hear it? In 2006, I had back surgery in Korea. And of course, I was to walk a lot. The first day after surgery, I had no pain in my legs, and I was rejoicing. I walked 5 miles all over that hospital and on the hospital grounds. I walked so much that I chafed my hips, and they had to put a towel around me when doctor because I had walked so much. But I was to walk. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went out to walk. And when I came out my door of my room at Jesus Hospital, that's what they call it, it's a wonderful hospital, Jesus Hospital in Chunju, started by a lady, Dr. American Missionary Engel from South Carolina, and in 1898, and everybody call it, the name is the Presbyterian Medical Center, but everybody knows it as Jesus Hospital. Huh? Now remind me where I'm at, okay? I'm walking out my door. But there was a doctor there from up to 1990, they always had an American missionary doctor as the director of the hospital. And there was one doctor there that didn't have time to learn Korean. He had to get right in there. And so he memorized John 3:16, that he could quote it to every patient that he came to. And he soon became known as Dr. John 3:16. How do you like to have that name? John. John 3:16. I walked out of the room, and to my left I heard a sad cry. And I knew that a young man that had a certain disease had died, and there was groaning and terrible agony. And so I decided to go to the right. And I went down in another corner here, another corner there, and got to the end. And I heard some beautiful singing. Hymns. Songs like, "I'll Meet You in the Morning." How many of you know that song? Huh? "I'll Meet You in the Morning." And I peeked in the door, and there was an elderly Korean lady passing. And her family and church was gathered around her, and they were singing, "I'll Meet You in the Morning." And they were joyful. It almost made me want to go in and sing with them, you know. But as I stood out and I listened, I said to myself, "Lord, that would be a wonderful way to go. Saints around you singing the wonderful songs of Zion." And so, when my dear wife was taken to hospice that Monday morning, it was around 10:30 at night now. My two daughters were there, and Samuel, Kim, that's of course in China and back in Korea now. He had come from China to see his mother, Linda. And he was there. My son and other daughter had not got there yet. And I was sitting there looking at my wife, and all of a sudden I saw her breathing begin to change, and I went over to her and put my hand on her forehead. And as I put my hand upon her forehead, I felt her life going from her. And I turned to my daughters and I called out my oldest daughter's name. I said, "Ruth, I said, your mother is going." And I said, "Let's sing. Let's sing." And we began to sing. Oh, was it a joyful. I think we sang better there than we ever sounded before. It was just tremendous rejoicing on the grace and mercy of God. And of course, the singing was heard throughout the corridors, and as soon a nurse came in because of it, and she noticed what was happening. She kind of stood by there and kind of was taking it all in, and we were singing, rejoicing, and she kind of snuck over and checked my wife and said, "Yes, she's going." And we continued to sing. The joys that God gives and the marvelousness of His grace and mercy. And the verse that God gave Linda and I immediately when we learned that she had 11-4 of ovarian cancer. Not knowing it. We had no idea. It's called the silent killer. And it was just, she never had pain with the cancer all the 2 years that she battled with it. Only the surgeries and the chemo and that kind of thing. But the verse that God gave us immediately was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." And we quoted that to each other every single morning. And when my dear Linda passed, this was the verse that God gave to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. "And He said unto me..." Now we know in context that Paul is speaking there, right? But can he not say it unto me? Can he not? Yes, he can. Do you read the Word of God like that? "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, you know what the key to that verse is? Stay weak before God, and you'll stay strong. Listen, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will always lead to the reality of your own weakness, to the glorious reality of God's strength. Child of God tonight, do you need the strength of God right now? Come to Him in your weakness and He'll give you His strength. God's grace is sufficient. That's yours to claim. That's yours to claim. The God that is, I stand before you tonight, and I could do that. No, I won't do that. I was going to say, everybody that can join me in this truth, come on. God is my. Listen, declare it in your life, declare it in your family, declare it in your neighborhood, declare it in your church, declare it in the nation. God is mine. Amen? Now again, listen to the closing words. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To Him, that's to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be glory both now. I don't know about you, but that speaks to me. I know what God wants me to do right now. He wants me to glorify Him. Where I'm at, who I am, all that's happening to me, He wants me to glorify Him. It's now. It's right now. Not tomorrow. Now. Not even today, before the day passed. Now. To glory both now, that means present tense, and that simply means day by day. Constant. And forever. For all eternity. I'm finished. Now what have you learned? Have you been refreshed from Scripture who God is and what God is? Have you? Now have you declared as His child that it's mine? He's my God. He's my strength. He's my salvation. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my everything. If you have not come to that place of decision in your life as a Christian, it would do your heart good tonight to simply say, Lord, I believe Your word. I know that You are who You are. But for all that, for that to be mine, I am a child of God. He is my God. And therefore, no matter what happens in this world, by God's grace, I'll ever stand and say, He is my God. He is my salvation. You can do whatever you want to do to me. He is my King. He is my everything. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? The God that is tonight wants to be yours. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the eternal God, the sovereign God, the holy God, the only true and living God wants to be your God. And you can only know that in Jesus Christ, God who came in the flesh, to die in your stead, to die in your place, that you can know Him. That you can know Him. Let me ask you tonight, are you growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the place that you get excited to declare before others, God is my salvation. God is my everything. Maybe you've been struggling with some things in life recently. Maybe you've kind of cooled off spiritually. And somehow the Spirit of God tonight, in a simple message that God is, to declare the God that is to be my, with an excitement, with a renewal of excitement in your own soul, to launch you into a new phase of your relationship with Him. The joy of His salvation in your heart and in your life. Thank God for the work of God's Spirit this morning. But this is now another service, another time. Another time to let the Spirit of God take His Word and minister to your heart in the simplicity of what God is and who God is and what God is. To make it yours. He is. You say, Brother Bill, I really want the expression of joy and excitement that when someone asks me, I will say with excitement, He is my God. Oh, I want you to know my God. I want you to know my salvation that I have in Him. I want you to know my King. It'll help you. It'll encourage you to be that way every day, that others can see in you your God. Father, I ask right now that You would take Your precious eternal Word. I get excited about a message like this. I do. Why? Because I've come to realize how wonderful it is for me to be able to claim in my own heart and soul that Thou art mine. I'm Yours. This is true. Thou hast apprehended me. Oh, to apprehend him that apprehended me. And so, Father, I pray that You would take this simple message tonight and make it very profound to our hearts by which we get excited and walk out of here, oh, praise God, He is my God. I can't wait to let people know I've kind of been shy. I've kind of been quiet. But Lord, when the opportunity comes, I want to get excited about letting others know that the God of heaven, the God who's created all things, the God of redemption is my God. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, He's my God. And so, Father, I pray that You would work a sweet work in us tonight. That, Lord, it will carry forth in the coming days of an excitement in our soul of declaring God is my everything. I ask now that Your Spirit will work as the invitation is given for Your glory. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let me ask this question right now with heads bowed and eyes closed. Anyone here right now, you say, Pastor, please, well, first thing I need to get settled is my salvation. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. I don't know Him as the God of my salvation. The entire reason Jesus Christ came to this earth, God in the flesh, was to save you from judgment to come before Almighty God. If you'd say, Pastor, please, I don't know that. I don't know that He is the God of my salvation. Please, I need you to pray for me. Would you just put your hand up for me? Let me see it real quick. Just put your hand up. Let me acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Anybody here like that? I see some small children is all I'm seeing. If you put your hand up, I did miss it. I would need you to do it again. All right, Christian. Well, there's some strength and there's some peace and awe. When I begin to realize that God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the One who spoke it and all those stars were in existence, the One who spoke and the oceans were there, that He is your God. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He is jealous. He is holy. He is just. He is our God. If you have something you need to come and pray about, you come and pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to page 624. If you need to come and